This is Carolina Business Review. Major support provided by Colonial Life, providing benefits to employees to help them protect their families, their finances, and their futures. High Point University, the premier life skills university, focused on preparing students for the world as it is going to be. Sunoco, a global manufacturer of consumer and industrial packaging products and services, with more than 300 operations in 35 countries.
On any given day, there's a lot to be anxious about, maybe, but there's also a lot to be optimistic and progressive about, maybe. Welcome to the most widely watched and longest running program on Carolina business, policy, and public affairs, seen every week across the Carolinas for more than 30 years. Thank you for supporting it. In a moment, for our panelists will help us tease out what is and what are some of the issues that will make a difference in the near term. And later on, and this is my term, the non-bank sort of CEO of a Carolinas-grown credit union, Truliance. Todd Hall joins us. Stay with us.
Major funding also by Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, and Martin Marietta, a leading provider of natural resource-based building materials, providing the foundation on which our communities improve and grow. On this edition of Carolina Business Review, Mark Vittner of Piedmont Crescent Capital, Ryan T. Coleman from Columbia Economic Development, and special guest Todd Hall, President and CEO of Truliant Federal Credit Union.
Welcome again to our program. It's almost happy holidays. I'm not going to say it yet. I'm going to hold it off a little bit. Mark, nice to see you. Mark, it has been 20 years since you've been on the program. We're glad to have you back.
Well, it's good to be back with you.
Thank you. Ryan, welcome to the program. But Mark, I'm going to start with you. So how do you gin out what is fear about a recession and what the data really shows?
Well, it's the fear about recession. I don't know how real that is. I mean, you look at the consumer confidence index, it's still relatively high. I think that economists, and myself included, have been warning that the economy appears to be headed toward recession for well over a year. And to be fair, I think that most economists have said it's not a slam dunk, it's not a sure thing. But when you look at the alternatives, is it going to be a rolling recession? Is it going to be, are we going to have a soft landing? It seems that the preponderance of economic data suggests that we're headed to a recession. I mean, we've had an inverted yield curve for over a year. You look at banks' willingness to make loans, and it's fallen off considerably. The credit spreads have widened. Typically, that would say that we're going to have a recession either late this year or early next year. But we also have all of the leftover stimulus from the pandemic. There's still a lot of cash out there. And then you've got the Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act,
is money, right, flowing in.
It's money that's flowing in now, and here in the Carolinas, we're big recipients of those dollars, and they have a real long runway on the spend out on that. And one of the kind of secrets that really hasn't been told is if you go and look at the GAO numbers, the take up on those programs has been about twice what was estimated. So there's a whole lot more activity than was planned when the actual acts were passed.
Yeah. Ryan, I promise I'm going to give you a chance here, but I want to ask you one more question, Mark. So is there, you know, as an economist, of course, I think you can run the data in your own head, but does anyone really know, and I would say even the Fed, does the Fed have an idea of, and I'll call it the distortive effect of a historic amount of money that's pumped into a system that still has an unintended effect on distorting what a recession may look like?
I don't know that anyone has that answer. I mean, I think that the Fed was certainly surprised at how inflationary all that cash turned out to be.
Really? Were they surprised?
They seem to be. I mean, they're transitory till it wasn't transitory anymore. But I think it's that we are seeing that we're moving past that burst of liquidity, and that we're reverting back to a more normal trend. And as we have less and less of that hangover, I think the economy will become will begin to act a little more normal. But in the next few weeks, we're going to see some pretty strong numbers. The GDP growth for the quarter that ended at the end of September is likely to be around 3.5%. But all of the growth was at the start of the quarter, and we ended on a fairly soft note. In the fourth quarter this year, I think growth's going to be 1% or less.
Okay. Ryan, let's give you a jump in here, please, if you can. Sure. In Colombia, does the fear of a recession, are you hearing this? And number two, what kind of effect does that have on economic development to date?
So I would say from the city of Colombia's perspective, certainly we kind of hear that out there, but Colombia has really started to catch on fire over the past few years. And so from the local perspective, what we see is a lot of headwinds and opportunity at the city. We've got a significant amount of people moving into the region. We've got double-digit population growth in the Colombia area. We've got record enrollment at the University of South Carolina. And we've got opportunities in that we have lagged behind some of our peer communities
in the local country,
regards to multifamily offerings. Typically, our property taxes have been a bit of an impediment to us, but through working with the City of Columbia and Richland County, we found a way to circumvent that. Certainly, the rising interest rates have created a new wrinkle for us to have to address in that equation. And we've seen some developers put their projects on pause, but we haven't outright had people just walk away yet. And I think from our perspective, it's gotten so expensive in places like Charleston to continue to do some of these projects. What we're pitching to people is there's growth opportunities and there's a value proposition here. With regards to the interest rates, once things get more favorable, there's a lot of opportunity here down the road with regards to our riverfront that we're going to be developing and with Scout Motors coming into the area.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ryan, but there seems to be the time has finally come because Columbia's been talking about Bull Street, River District, et cetera, et cetera. So do you feel like, and just put on your objective hat here for a second, and I know you can, do you feel like this momentum is real then?
Absolutely. What it takes is it takes a political leadership that is dedicated to being business friendly. That's something that our city council came out real strong with last year, reducing regulations, making it easier to get permits and approvals, and then just having that good working relationship with the county. We've got kind of a unique structure in Columbia and Richland County. We are the largest utility provider in the state of South Carolina, so we bring the water sewer capability, but the county is the taxing authority. And so they have the ability to help us out with property tax reductions. And so we've gotten a good partnership where we're able to partner on these multifamily commercial deals downtown, but we're also able to partner on large industrial deals because we bring that utility capacity to the table. And that's what's getting it done right now.
Thank you. Ryan, you referenced it. Mark, you have referenced it in I don't know how many different reports and talks that I've heard you say, and that is the in-migration of the Carolinas is going to bail us out a lot. And it's my term. Will it? Will all of this growth, we can do a whole bunch of things that may not be in the best interest of our growth, but the number of people moving into our metros and
bail us out of a lot of situations that folks are worrying about. I mean, for example, the office market, everybody's worried sick about the office market, and there's some real challenges there. Charlotte was front page of the Washington Post about the doom loop and crazy stuff, but Charlotte added 52,500 jobs over the last year. That's slightly more jobs than Atlanta added over the last year. So that is just a tremendous amount of growth. We likely added about 60,000 residents in the last year in Charlotte. So that helps out. And we need all that growth because we really are building a lot of apartments and building a lot of office space. Raleigh and Durham have similar numbers, not as high as Charlotte of 52,000. I think it's like 30,000 net new jobs between Raleigh, Durham combined. But very strong population growth. Wilmington, Asheville growing very strong. But South Carolina really kind of jumps off the page in that while Charlotte is topped Atlanta, Charleston, almost 5% job growth over the last year. And Charleston does not have over 1 million people, so they don't make it on a lot of lists. But if you include them on those lists, they move way up to the top of the list. It's one of the fastest growing metro areas in the country.
Is that sustainable for the Lowcountry? I mean, given that they're very limited when you come to land,
well,
right?
They're very water constrained. I mean, they've got a lot, not that they're going to run out of water, but you've got to get over the water, and so it funnels the traffic into a few roads, and it's it amazes me that when you go to Mount Pleasant, how much traffic is going into Mount Pleasant in the morning, and it's awfully hard to go into downtown Charleston when you're leaving Mount Pleasant, because it's just hard to make that left-hand turn. But I see they've got a long runway of growth, because growth is spreading north and it's spreading out, and so it's North Charleston has got tremendous growth, and you've got Volvo, which is they're going to be making the Polestar car there, which is a pretty nice little EV. So they've got a long runway for growth there.
You know, yeah. Ryan, Mark just mentioned this too, and you made a reference to it, but the idea of commercial real estate and the specter of late stage commercial real estate cycle, meaning that, as Mark said, there was a Washington Post cover story about the, I don't know if it's a cover story, but it was certainly prominent about Charlotte having a 30% vacancy rate downtown, and one of the highest in the nation. There are people that contest that, but Columbia has had an issue challenging and getting down the vacancy rate for many years. Does that, it seems like you have momentum, does that commercial real estate cycle scare you at all?
Not really at all, because from Columbia's perspective, we weren't overbuilt in commercial real estate. And so going into the pandemic, we were probably at about a 10% vacancy rate downtown in the urban core. Mm-hmm. And we're right back there again. And what we saw is the businesses that had larger footprints obviously shrank their floor plates going to remote or hybrid work. But what that did was that created other opportunities for companies that were also moving to come into the city center. And right now, you know, the defining thing that everybody is competing for right now is talent. And so the ability to move from an office park where you got to get in a car and you got to go drive to one or two places to get your lunch, to now be in a downtown area where it's walkable and you're close to the university, it makes it easier for you to go in and engage and get that talent. And so I won't say that the suburban office market is as healthy, but certainly downtown right now, we're doing pretty well. Actually, our new constraint has become parking. And so we've got a limited amount of structured and surface parking, and we're having to get a little more creative with how we solve for that. But, you know, as far as a vacancy perspective, it's healthy for us.
Yeah, good problem to have. Stay with us. We're going to bring our guest on in just a second. Before we do that, coming up on this program, the relatively newly installed president of the North Carolina Community College System, named Dr. Jeff Cox. Jeff was in Allegheny County in North Carolina for a while and got the big job, which is also a big challenge. We're going to find out how he thinks about what South Carolina's technical college system and North Carolina's community college system play in the next 5 to 10 years. And then also, just in time for holiday season, I hate to get out on the front edge of this, but it's hard not to with the CEO of Butterball. Jay Jandrain will be here talking about an Eastern North Carolina farming in on this program. In many ways, the last couple of years has brought, in many ways, withering attention and pressure on this country's banks, deserved or not. The financial institutions that underpin the lives of businesses and individuals have been stress tested over and over again, both intentionally and not. So how does that affect somewhat of my term, a non-bank? A credit union is at the core of many communities and personal financial lives. Joining us now is the president and the chief executive officer of one of the Carolina's largest homegrown credit unions, Todd Hall of Treliant. Todd, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
And let's just clear this up once and for all. It's Treliant, not Treliant, right?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Thank you.
Usually, if you're talking about it in a positive way, you can call me either one.
Well said, sir. Todd, last couple of years for banks, and I say this with all respect, sir. We had Jim Blaine, formerly a state employee credit union, on, and wasn't offended, but was very, very determined to say credit unions are not banks. We're something closer than that, and that was his term. But the idea that the banks the last couple of years have been under a lot of scrutiny, probably deserved in many ways, how does that How does that change the way you operate with that kind of scrutiny and regulatory attention?
I don't think it changes a lot about how we operate, because obviously as a credit union, we're smaller, we're a little more community oriented related to that. Reliant being a low income designated credit union, more than 50% of our members make less than 80% of the median income of the community in which they live. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're serving a different purpose. Our mission is to improve lives versus shareholder orientation of that. But so we certainly are watching what goes on with the big banks, and now that it starts to, you know, moving down to 100 billion for the limit related to capital requirements that are kind of coming down the pike, and we think there'll probably be trickle effect even into the regional communities of that. You see tightening of what they're out there doing. So speaking about economic development for Ryan and Columbia, you know, I think that you'll have less players in that, because the big banks and the super regionals right now are concerned about what will that capital requirement be, and so they're starting to pull themselves out of some of those lending markets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Mark, question.
Yeah. What are you seeing in credit? What's happened with credit quality? I mean, that's a big concern that we're seeing all across banking.
Yeah, deterioration. You know, we are starting to see, you know, for Treliant, our delinquency numbers are about pre-pandemic kind of levels, and so and we had expected that. But we're starting to see the expected losses in unsecured and credit card debt that is, you know, exemplifies kind of that recessionary conversation you guys had earlier, that our community, you know, the communities we serve are struggling a bit just in, you know, normal cost of living.
Yeah, there's a lot of guesswork about what student loan repayments are going to mean, and do you think that will have any meaningful impact on credit quality?
I do, yeah. Just the extent of the breadth of student lending debt out there, you know, within our member base and others, I do think delinquencies will continue to rise as folks have to begin to decide what they're going to pay. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I do think it'll have some consequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan? Yeah, what's your outlook on commercial lending market? And I know, you know, right now we're still seeing multifamily, student housing's doing really well, industrial's on fire. Mm-hmm. Office is in a really bad place, though, and I say sure. this with the caveat
nervously
that,
laughing,
that
sure.
We've got a significant expansion project that would be build-to-suit with a ready-to-go tenant, incentives lined up, and they still can't get the financing for that. So is there any you know, hope of a positive outlook for some changes in that, or are we just going to be sitting here and grinning and bearing this, you know, for 12 to 24 months or even longer?
I think that we're going to be in a bit of a lull for it. For, you know, the duration, I don't know, Mark could probably speak better to that than I, but I think it's tight. You know, folks are very tight. The office piece is having impacts on people's losses and allowances, you know, across the spectrum of those that are in it. You know, we are seeing, I'm sure that other smaller financial institutions, being, you know, community, regional banks and credit unions, are getting opportunities at those that we've not ever seen before, mm-hmm. because it's getting tight in the larger sector.
Yeah.
So I think deals will still be getting done. I think the requirement of that's going to be the developers are going to have to bring more money to the table on the front end of that.
Well, they love to do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Said no one ever.
You need to introduce me. No one ever. Because I hadn't met those yet. But so I do think that it's going to be tight for a while.
So when you model, when you're in your team, the operating committee and the banks, kind of the strategic mm-hmm. thinker, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not just talking about, okay, ladies, guys, here's where we're going to be in 12 months, 24 months. But if you follow through the spectrum, how are you modeling where you need to be at the peak of a slowdown or a recession, and then where you need to be to make sure that you're taking advantage of opportunities coming out of it?
Yeah, for sure. So we do a 3-year forecast on a kind of rolling basis, looking at that, and of course making a number of assumptions. What will cost of funds be? You know, when do we think the Fed may or may not move? Will they move, you know, normally like 75 bips? Or do you see this, you know, what you see out there now, this little 25, 25, 25 creep, which I don't buy. But so we look at that quite often. And so like the current system, you know, cost of funds is expensive. A lot of institutions are kind of on the sidelines for gathering deposits. And so I think that many of them don't have a lot of operating cash because of that, so they're either going to have to borrow or they're going to have to go out and pay for deposits. You know, we believe that the liquidity market's going to be very difficult into 24, maybe into 25, and so we think it's a good time to go gather deposits so that we can continue to lend across all spectrums, commercial, retail, and all of that. And that's what we're after. We really, it's the tough part is, when does the Fed move? How aggressively will they move? We think it's longer than shorter, and have for quite some time. So you'll see us trying to, mm-hmm. to take monies right now in the deposit mm-hmm. sector, and that, and that's the fuel that runs us all, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't have deposit balances, you can't lend money. So.
Mark, do you want to ask Todd if he thinks that there's another interest rate increase, because he just kind of queued it up?
That's a loaded.
Well, Jamie Dimon said we might get to 7% on the funds rate.
I
don't know where that number. I think he just pulled that out, but are you preparing for longer, higher for longer? I mean, that seems to be the big buzzword. And what do you think? Do you think the Fed goes another time? I mean,
I think that the shutdown, which we will have, and you know, our guess is probably on the longer end of average shutdown. So you know, the 4 week range, 3 to 4 week range, and if not that, that there might be several, just because of the House and what's going on in the House, but. So I don't think you see anything in November. I don't think they'll have data.
Yeah, I hate to hear that about the shutdown, because I mean, one of the things that will happen with the shutdown is we won't get any government data. And
exactly.
It'll make it hard. The Fed will be flying blind, so they really can't.
Right. And so, you know, obviously, yeah, you would think that given what we've seen to date and just yesterday on core and some of that, that they would probably sit it out in November. Don't know if they'll be up and running on data in December. So you know, if I was a betting man, I'd say we won't see anything for the remainder of the year. But first quarter, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ryan? Question?
Not with regards to that necessarily. I'm interested to know, you made a good mention earlier about focus on low income. We've seen a lot of small business entrepreneurial growth. Is there anything creative y'all have done to help serve that community? Because we're kind of focusing on a homegrown approach. And so I'd love to hear if there's some creative things y'all have put out there to help people kind of scale up.
Yeah, absolutely. So we agree. You know, I think that this country is built on the back of Main Street America. And so, you know, during the pandemic when PPP money came out, you know, we were not built for it, but we decided we needed to be serving our communities for that. And so we were out there doing $45 million worth of PPP loans at an mm-hmm. average loan amount of $30,000. So totally different than some of the other games that you might have been exposed to. But we're out there with the deposit side of things. We offer basically a free business checking account mm-hmm. for small businesses like that. And so that you know, industry now is all about knocking on doors and making sure they understand what they have, and then having a really good digital component of that so that they have ease of doing business. Lending wise, we see a lot of that. You know, as we're structured, we're an SBA lender, so we're a preferred lender in the SBA world. So we look at a lot of deals. That business has risen right now mm-hmm. because of the tightness in the credit markets we've talked about. But it's difficult because with interest rates, most, you know, all of that is variable, right? So you got a prime plus factor in that gets pretty expensive to operate with. But we're aggressive in the SBA, Small Business Administration arena, to try to support those small businesses that are in our communities.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Our small business community, we've seen a lot more interaction between them and the local credit unions, and it's led to a lot of new openings. The support's great there. I think they have the appreciation that they mm-hmm. feel like they're dealing with someone local and, you know, not a corporate entity out of town. So appreciate all that you're doing to serve your communities.
Thank you so much. Can I get a piece of that for a testimonial that we can
yes,
run
sir.
On our own?
Put it on the reel.
We can negotiate that after the program, but no one's going anywhere yet. Todd, how about AI? I mean, you have to model out what this looks like, not just for Truliant, but what does it do to financial services?
Oh, I think it's going to have tremendous impact. I mean, I know that it is kind of the media darling right now
sure.
and everything financial, but it's for real. So we are modeling significantly in areas like marketing, human resources, finance, and other areas right now that are focused particularly. But there's no doubt that AI is going to have an impact on the speed of how financial institutions can do business, the economics related to that. I think what it allows us to then do is take the employees we have that might be involved in some of that manual transaction activity and allow them to do bigger and better things that allow us to then serve members quicker, faster, spend time and energies in the arenas, you know, the digital and online experiences that so much of our society is now expecting.
You know, we've got literally a minute left, and one more quick thing about AI. Does it create compliance and legal and personal data issues that have to be sewn up?
You know, I've not seen that aspect of it yet, but we're not so deeply into it. Obviously, Congress is going to be dealing with how do you regulate AI. You know, is it state? Is it federal? You know, what does all of that shake out to be? But in the banking industry, the credit union industry, we're so heavily regulated at the moment that we pay so much attention to people's information. Our cybersecurity is so heavily, developed, and you know, a great amount of operating expense goes that way. So I feel pretty good that many in the financial industry will be foundationally ready to take on whatever those challenges might be.
Okay, thank you. Got to cut it off, but thank you. Todd, thanks for coming back.
Absolutely,
on
my pleasure.
I'm glad you're smiling about the next whatever's coming, because you seem ready and suited for it. So please come back.
I would love to.
Yeah,
would love
good to see you. Ryan, welcome. Please come back.
Absolutely.
Love having you from Columbia. Anytime. Mark, it's been too long. Glad you're here. You look great. And as always, do a great job. So thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Thank you. Thank you for watching our program. Hope your holiday is, whatever that is, coming up, and your weekend is good. Until next week, good night.
Gratefully acknowledging support by Martin Marietta, Blue Cross Blue Shield of South Carolina, Sunoco, High Point University, Colonial Life, and by viewers like you. Thank you. For more information, visit CarolinaBusinessReview.org.